Hello, and welcome to the Colts Cover 2 podcast. This is the First Impressions edition with Nat Newell. My sports editor is taking over for Jim in the interim here. Colts dropped a 27-24 decision. I guess if you want to look at it one way, they played a lot better this week. It wasn't quite a bad blowout.
I think you come out of this, as bad as you felt last week, you come out of this one feeling better because of the way the game went. I mean, this game could have gone really bad on the Colts early, and they hung in there, and that's to their credit. They still lost the game they probably should have won, though.
Yeah, and the reason they hung, one of the big reasons that they hung in there is the big question mark coming out of this game. Carson Wentz suffered an ankle injury. We don't know what it is. He didn't think it was broken. They were going to get scans on it, see what happened. But that's a very big problem because Jacob Eason came in, threw one out, a quick out wide to the mark, and then threw a very ill-advised, non-accurate pass that, honestly, Jalen Ramsey didn't have to try very hard to intercept.
Yeah, Wentz, with about 7 minutes, 30 seconds left in the fourth quarter, he's scrambling away. Aaron Donald brings him down, basically puts his whole weight, bends his ankle back, in the wrong way. And Wentz had to go out immediately. The Colts did kick a tying field goal off after that. It seemed a little weird that Wentz said he didn't know if his ankle was broken, yet was walking around on it. No brace, no nothing. It did sound like he thought it was more sprained than anything else. But, you know, is it a high ankle sprain, low ankle sprain? There's a lot wide range of possibilities there.
Yeah, and one of the things that's tough is that if it's a high ankle sprain, low ankle sprain, whatever, quarterbacks have played through that kind of stuff in the past lots of times. Quarterbacks frequently play through lower leg injuries because of you can still make throws from the pocket. You can still do stuff if you're not as mobile. The problem is that Carson Wentz has desperately needed his mobility the first 2 weeks of the season. And if you throw him out there non-mobile, the way the offensive line is playing, you take away one of the things that that's marked his play so far.
And you take away probably the only thing that has allowed the Colts to move the ball. I mean,
that's probably a good point.
We've talked about this coming in, and that the quarterback was the biggest question. You figured if Wentz was good, the Colts were going to be good. Yet, you make a list of the Colts' problems, as Greg Doyle noted in his column, and Carson Wentz is not. He hasn't been perfect, but he's not very high on that list.
No, it's been everything else. And I think one of the reasons he's injured now is that the thing that you were counting on most, the offensive line, has really struggled. Quentin Nelson and Ryan Kelly said it today. Quentin Nelson went so far as to say, it wasn't the game plan, it's not the play calls, it's not the quarterback, it's not anything else. We're just not playing well.
And the most obvious example of that was they get down to the one on their first drive, first and goal from the one. They try to run it three times. They don't get anywhere. Obviously, Wentz gets sacked on fourth down, and they turn it over. Again, I've always never liked the bunch. You know, you put everybody in the tackle box or almost everybody in the tackle box, and you're the running back who's carrying the ball is not blocking anyone. The quarterback's not blocking anyone, so you're going 9 on 11 trying
essentially
on offense and. I don't like that to begin with. And then we've talked about, we talked about this in terms of the play sequencing. Would you be better off running some kind of play action pass out of that? I do like that. You bring everybody in and you run the play action pass. What's your thoughts on how that was handled by Reich and the offense?
I used to joke, and I'm probably still will make this joke later in the season at some point, because it's one of my favorite jokes, is that the no one has ever defended the tight end on a play action pass
at the goal line, yep,
from the 1 yard line. I think Brett Favre, this is anecdotal, so I don't know this for sure, but I think Brett Favre threw all of his touchdown passes to tight ends on that play, or at least all of his touchdown passes to whoever their third tight end was at the time. I don't know if you don't run that play earlier because you're worried about the sack happening and taking you out of the goal spot, but there's other stuff you could do. You can spread them out and run a quarterback draw. I think with Wentz's speed, well, whenever he has it back. I think with Wentz's speed, a bootleg is an interesting play there, just because you can fake the handoff to Taylor, everyone's piling in, and then you have somebody who can beat someone to the pylon, and if someone goes with him, he can just throw it out of bounds. You could run a shotgun run and spread them out a little bit and give Taylor less to work with in there. There's a Nyheim Hines did some stuff out of the Wildcat last year. There's a lot of stuff you can do rather than just run it three times up the middle. One of the things I think that I always think about here is in terms of play calling is going to get a ton of criticism because play calling always gets a ton of criticism. That's just the way things work. But it's a both thing here. It's both that the play calling was the way it was, and it was pretty easy for the Rams to know what they were going to do, and they ran the same play three times in a row. The other and maybe larger problem for me is that this is an offense with this line with Jonathan Taylor that should get 1 yard in three plays. It just should. I don't care how many people are in the box. I don't care who they're playing. It should be able to get 1 yard in three plays. It just should. And that's been a big problem with this team so far is the offensive line. It's not just the play calling. The execution has been terrible. And that's why Nelson and Kelly put it on themselves. The execution has been very bad from the offensive line.
And, of course, we should mention in our first podcast, without Jim, another option is always the quarterback sneak. But they no longer have Jacoby Brissett, the greatest short yardage back in NFL history. But,
yeah, you wonder if the fumble last week played into that.
It certainly could have. What do you think the reason is for the struggles of the offensive line? I mean, it's got to be – there's been injuries both, and that disrupts continuity. It also, you know, you're playing guys that you weren't counting on playing.
Quentin Nelson, I think, has played pretty well despite the back injury. It sounds like that back injury is pretty – sounds like it's something to worry about if I was a Colts fan, for me. Just given that Nelson said it's something that he knew he had to manage coming in, something made it flare up, it's going to be hard for him to get – out of it in the season. He's missing practice. He doesn't want to. But Nelson's playing pretty well. I had my binoculars on Aaron Donald the entire first half. And when he was lined up against Nelson, Donald gave Nelson more trouble than other people do, but it was still pretty good. It got to the point where I didn't understand why the Rams were even allowing it to happen when there's so many other options for them to put their best defender on. Outside of that, Kelly was hurt a little bit. Kelly was hurt for 2 weeks. They don't have Braden Smith. Eric Fisher was playing today, but in piecemeal because they kept giving him rest, and then they would play Julian Davenport on the left and Matt Pryor on the right. Davenport, the Colts' lack of tackle depth has really shown up, and it's something where in the past they've been able to find these guys that other teams cast off and didn't like, and it worked out at guard and at center. Evan Bame in 18, Josh Andrews, Chris Reed, it seems like this year, if they ever have to miss a guard, is going to be that kind of player. They found these guys that were cast off. They have not been able to do it at tackle. And Davenport has played, I think, the way most people expected he would play if he had to see time, based on what he's been in the NFL up to this point.
And we've talked about, they seemed like they knew Eric Fisher was the guy, but they didn't make that move until deep into free agency. Were they talking to guys that, you know, telling them, you know, inviting guys in, talking, negotiating with free agents, but not giving them a chance to start? And did that sort of scare them off because they didn't know? They didn't want to talk about Fisher. He wasn't there yet. It just does seem like something that's hurt the Colts. I mean, it's clearly hurt the Colts this year is not having a better backup tackle.
Yeah, you wonder if, you know, they just cut their fifth-round pick off the practice squad. Could you have used a fifth-round pick? Maybe the guy's not ready yet, but at least you're using a pick on it. I mean, they really liked Danny Pinter last year. They got him in the fifth round. A lot of it seemed like they didn't – from what I understand, a lot of what the Colts not picking a left tackle, what went into that was they didn't feel like there were guys who were built to be left tackles down the road. But this is a team that also knew it needed to address – even if you know you're going to sign Fisher and he's your option, and they knew it needed to address the swing tackle position. That was a problem last year.
And you didn't know whether Fisher – how. I mean, they're lucky that Fisher was ready week two.
They can't believe he's ready week two. So in going after guys like Sam Tevi and Julian Davenport, who knows if other guys wanted to start? But you've got to give yourself more options because those guys have been bad in the NFL coming in, and they might still be bad. Like, you have not been able to develop a tackle the same way you've been able to develop the interior. And the proof is in the pudding in the first 2 weeks. Colts have given up 6 sacks, 21 quarterback hits. It would be way more sacks than that if Carson Wentz wasn't as mobile as he is. And I really don't think it's about him getting the ball. I mean, he does hold on to the ball a little bit longer than Rivers, but he also got the ball out very quickly on the first couple drives here. And the pressure has just been there. It's forced him.
Yeah, everyone gets rid of the ball a little slower than Philip Rivers.
Right.
And also, and we've talked about this, when you're running for your life, it takes longer to throw the ball. It's hard to say without really breaking it down, is he holding onto the ball too long? But it doesn't seem like it. We were talking about this earlier. I mean, it sort of seemed inevitable that he was going to get hurt the way they were going, too.
He's taken some really bad shots the first 2 weeks. Now, the play he got hurt on wasn't the sort of classic, like, guy gets drilled in the pocket, but he's taken some really bad shots the first couple weeks.
And you mentioned Eason earlier, but what were your thoughts on how he played? I mean, I thought the first pass to Pascal was something. It wasn't the perfect pass, but he got his hands on it and he dropped it. Throws the terrible interception, but then Pittman had a drop in the middle of the field. I mean, it's an impossible situation almost to put a quarterback into who's never played an NFL down before. 2 minutes, 20 seconds left, you're down by three, and you got to go 75 yards.
Yeah, but I don't know if we should have expected more. The big problem, though, was the interception. You can't take that chance and throw it. You know Five's back there. You have to know where Ramsey is. And you've got to make a better throw on it, especially on second down. You have a chance to make – You can check it down. You don't have to worry about making the first down throw there. It was still 2 minutes. They had plenty of time.
Right, right.
You don't have to take that chance. I don't think, based on what we've seen, that you feel good if Jacob Eason has to start the next game.
I would agree. I mean, it is hard on one hand, you say it's an impossible situation to put him in. On the other hand, it's not like, you know, coming back from 3 points down with 2 minutes left hasn't been done before.
Right.
And you make – I mean, there's plenty of time left. You wonder how much of it
is. The way a lot of veteran quarterbacks would have done that is they would have checked down 10 times.
Yeah.
They would have just kept throwing these little six-yard passes and gotten into field goal range.
Right.
That's sort of the playbook for these guys. I mean, sometimes there's the big play, but when you only need a field goal, you just need to get down the field. So obviously, this team needs Wentz. They're going to have him going forward. I don't know if you can expect Eason to play great football the way he would have to. The other thing is, and I was thinking about this when he came in, Wentz's mobility has gotten him out of a lot of stuff. Eason is not mobile.
Right.
If they're not blocking any better than they have been the first couple weeks, and Eason's in there, they're going to take a lot of sacks.
It's not a pretty picture without Wentz, so it'll be very interesting to see. Another thing we wanted to talk about was the defense, second week in a row that they have not played up to their standards. Rams are a really good offense, but the big plays keep coming. Talk about what you see there.
Well, and I thought the other thing about it today was that Matthew Stafford didn't look like he had his A game.
No, I would agree. I would agree.
I thought that there was a lot of times that when the pressure was not really that close to him, he misfired. He kind of looked like he was rushing himself and misfired a little bit. And on a day like that, when Matthew Stafford doesn't have his A game, you got to like smell the blood there and kind of go for it. And they couldn't do it. And the other thing I think was situationally, when they needed a stop, coming out of the half, it's 10-6. Get the ball back to the offense. See if you can stay in this game. Easy touchdown drive. Colts go up 21-17 on the horrendous punt from Rams. I have no idea what happened there. great play by the Colts to make it stick with EJ Speed forcing the fumble and Ashton Doolin landing on it. That's why Ashton Doolin's here, for all those people who don't understand that. But they go up 21-17. Right there, you're like, okay, we've got the lead. Our defense has to make a stop here, or at least hold them to a field goal, allow the offense to get another shot at it. It's extending the lead. Four plays, 70 yards, like 2 minutes, and they're in the end zone. Same thing with – it's 24-24, Wentz is out. If you get a stop there and force them to punt, it's a tie game. You're trying to get Eason into a tie game. It's a lot different drive. They give up the field goal. This wasn't a bad first half, better second half. They were just bad. They were just bad the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, we work – we'll go a little inside baseball. We're working ahead on stuff during the game, trying to anticipate so we have something to post as soon as the game's over. I had no hesitation today on, you know, here's what I'm going to write about as if the Colts are going to lose. I did not have a winning and a losing version of the story. Right. You just don't have confidence that they're going to make those stops.
No, and we've seen it in the past where they did make those stops. And at times – when they haven't – not outside of last year at the beginning when they were pretty dominant against bad offenses, what they've been good at with this is they've always come up with a timely big play. It never happened today. There was one play that they came close to. DeForest Buckner made a great play coming up the middle on Stafford on 3rd and 1. The Rams decided to throw it. Buckner is blowing past the guy. He probably got held. NFL fans should know by now, you're not always going to get the holding call. The problem was no one covered Cooper Kupp. And so this incredible effort by DeForest Buckner is wasted. And Darius Leonard, battling an ankle injury, misses the tackle in the flat. They get going. They keep going. That's the kind of play where when the Colts defense is going well, someone's covering that guy. It becomes an incompletion. Buckner gets a sack. Something happens. But it looked like Buckner against the world, and that's been a problem the first 2 weeks.
And we don't. How much of this is on Leonard? I hate saying it's on Leonard because he's hurt. He's himself has said there's no excuses. I got to make the plays. So credit to him for saying that. But is your defense? It's a conservative defense that's designed around guys like Leonard making big plays.
He plays one of the three most important spots in the defense. Matt Eberflus has said that over and over again. It's Buckner at the three technique. It's Leonard at the will, and it's Kenny Moore in the nickel. Those are the three spots. The defense is designed to funnel the ball to those spots. And if you have a weak side linebacker in this defense who is struggling a little bit, it is a big problem because that is the guy who makes all the tackles. It always has been. That's why when Anthony Walker jumped in for Leonard the past couple of years, his tackle shot up to 13 or 14 a game because it's designed for that player to make tackles. And I think Leonard has 9 through the first 2 games, which for him, that's normally 3/4.
And he's the one who makes the big plays. And if his ankle is keeping him from being able to make big plays, that's a serious problem. And again, you can say, you know, depth, but you don't replace Darius Leonard. So, I mean, it's just a problem. And again, to his credit, he's playing through it and he's acknowledged it and all that. But without that, it does seem like it's a huge void in this defense.
It's not just Darius Leonard. Kari Willis has had a rough time in coverage the first couple of weeks. Teams are isolating him on receivers and it's not going well. It's 2 weeks in a row. This time it was Cooper Kupp. Willis falls down. I don't think TJ Carey has had a great 2 weeks. I mean, you don't expect him to necessarily. You want him to play more of a sub role instead of you want Xavier Rhodes in there, but he struggled the first couple of weeks. We're still waiting on the first like really big play from Julian Blackman.
After a great start to his career, Blackman, I mean, he just hasn't shown up a lot in terms of noticing him. I'm not saying he's not playing well. I don't look at it close enough, but he hasn't made the big plays he made his first handful of games.
And then one sack today. I mean, there was some pressure at times, but one sack today, it's just not enough. You want to get more pressure on Stafford. You want to have more – you want to force him into more of those bad throws. Because he did. When they got stops, it was because – they were getting pressure to Stafford, and he was making bad throws. We didn't see it enough. We didn't see it enough last week against Russell Wilson either. They had 3 sacks, but 2 of them were by defensive backs. You just haven't seen enough from the defense. This is a defense that really was supposed to be something outside. The offensive line is the number one foundation. The defense is supposed to be the second, and they're supposed to have pretty close to it. We kind of knew going in that the defensive ends were going to take some time because they're young. Who knows? But – and then there were some flashes again from Quiddy Pay, but he's a rookie. Like, you can't expect Quiddy Pay to be Von Miller. He's a rookie. You're hoping for flashes.
Yeah.
And they haven't had enough from the rest of the defense to make it stick. It's been a bad defense the first couple of weeks. It just has.
Well, obviously, we've been all doom and gloom to this point. Joel leading the way, of course. So I will now be the glass half full version of this podcast. Now, unfortunately, I had a whole plan for this, and if Wentz is hurt, just ignore everything I'm about to say, because without Wentz,
none of this
matters. But 0-2, historically, if you go 0-2, only 11% of the teams make it. I actually went through, I looked up every team that would have made it under the current 14-team playoff system. It's like 16.5% of the teams. But if you lose to good teams, it's not the end of the world. These are both – I mean, the Seahawks, and we don't know what's going to happen, but the Rams and the Seahawks are both projected to win double digits. They're both expected to be in the playoffs.
They're both supposed to be playoff teams.
So, and now, they're both at home. That's bad. But losing 2 games to really good teams is not the end of the world. The other thing they've got going for them is they're in the AFC South, which might be the worst division in the NFL right now, although the Titans did win today. They go to Tennessee next week. The Tennessee winning today was a switches, all of a sudden next week's bigger. I didn't think it was a must win. Going 0-3 is bad, but, if Tennessee's 1-2 after that, it's not the end of the world. Houston and Jacksonville aren't going anywhere. I don't think – what were the odds that they were going to win these 2 games?
It was 2 tough games.
And then the first 5 games are brutal. So, again, everybody's saying, oh, my God, how can you have all this stuff happen at the worst possible time? I think it's the best. You know, you don't want this ever to happen. If it has to happen, have it go against the teams that you might not beat anyway, and then get everybody ready to come back for the last 12 games of the year when the schedule is easier. You get healthy, and you can go on a run at that point. So, again, I mean, there's 100 ways you can dispute everything I'm saying, but I just don't think this is as bad. I mean, it's bad. It's just not as bad as it looks, I don't think.
I think it, now with Tennessee coming back to beat Seattle, I think, now all of a sudden, if they lose next week, then it's real crisis mode, I think. Just because they'd be 2-1, you're two games behind the Titans.
But well, they'd be 1-2. They only you're right. They'd be two and one. I'm sorry, you're right.
But one of the if people are looking for another reason to be optimistic, the next three games are on the road, but the Colts, I think, have won every game I've covered in Nashville since I started covering
Reich
started. The Dolphins have not looked great and lost to Tagovailoa today. And the Ravens have just keep losing players to injury.
Yeah, 14 guys on the IR, I think,
was
the last game.
So those three games don't look quite the same as they did. They now, again, all of this is dependent on Wentz. It depends on what's going on with Wentz's ankle. It is, you know, where is he at that way? But yes, there is a way out of the 0-2 start. There's a way out of the 0-2 start. But ultimately, you would rather. I think today wasn't as today was mostly bad because of the Wentz injury. I thought the fact that they came back in. I thought the offense looked better. The red zone issues are bad, but the offense moved the ball a lot against good defense. Last week, I think, looked worse. But
I think there's also an element like last week. You watched that game and you said, "Oh, there's no hope." And it's overreaction the first week and all right. of that stuff. But you watch today's game and you said, okay, there's hope, again, as right. long as Wentz is healthy. So, yeah, I think there is – I mean, and I think it's a credit to the team to bounce back that way. It seems – and, you know, with what the offensive lineman said this week as well, there's an accountability there and a recognition that they need to do better.
Right.
And I think that should be respected. Again, they got to prove it. I'm not – you know, if they don't prove it, that doesn't mean anything. But I think they proved a little bit today – so they got to prove it more next week.
Yeah, I think one of the other things – I mean, if you other positives, Michael Pittman playing like a number one receiver.
Yeah.
You know, the big plays – they got big plays down the field against a defense that doesn't like to give big plays. Like, so much of this is – it's hard saying this because so much of this is dependent on Wentz.
Yep.
Wentz is the guy pulling the trigger. But just a much better offense between – honestly, up until about the three-yard line. A much better offense in terms of – and a lot of it, that's the hard part. It just depends on Wentz's ankle because so much of this was Wentz, I felt like, today. And the more I talk about it – because the running game wasn't good again. The running game struggled again. And the more I talk about it, the more I'm like, man, this a lot. So much is dependent on Wentz's ankle.
And they did come back and score in the red zone later in the game.
Right.
I mean, it was a little messy, but they did pull it off.
Well, again, that was Wentz. There were two plays – that Wentz had to magic himself into an incompletion to keep them where they were so he could throw the 8-yard touchdown pass to Zach Pascal. It's tough. We talk about the rest of the team, and here we are right where we started the podcast. Carson Wentz's ankle means a lot.
Yep. And again, there's no way of knowing what the situation's going to be. And the way he handled it after the game to say it might not be broken or what. I mean, he said, I don't think it's broken. Again, I don't think you can walk around on a broken ankle. You can walk around on a sprained ankle. You can probably walk around on a severely sprained ankle. But it just, yeah. And then Frank Reich, I guess, was a little bit more optimistic or seemed like it.
I have no idea because I saw Carson Wentz walk around on a broken foot or a piece of foot, or a foot with a broken piece of bone out. Same thing with Quentin Nelson. So I don't have any idea what's possible to do with a broken anything anymore. The Colts have ruined my ability to figure out with my eyes how hurt somebody is.
Well, what else do you want to hit? Anything else that we need to touch off the first 2 weeks?
No, I think that about covers it. The outside, if Wentz is not hurt too bad, I think the biggest thing is just this offensive line has to start playing the way the offensive line was supposed to.
And it was good to hear them say that they and acknowledge that publicly. Quentin Nelson is not exactly the most talkative guy. I was surprised at how
he's been really good twice in the last 3 days, which is very surprising.
But I wonder if that's a recognition that he knew he had to come out and you know, he had to do that. I mean, he had to own up to it, or whatever word you want to put on it.
Right.
And again, I think that's a credit to him, and you know, and Kelly it seems like it's always that way.
Kelly is always that way.
But the fact that they're willing to, and they, you know, is
there's a reason that we always request Ryan Kelly after bad offensive line games, because we know we're going to get what he thinks.
And if they own up to it and they can address it, you know, again, it should be the best offensive line in the league.
Well, outside of Wentz, the big takeaway for me was that I really thought that if you put what Kelly said together and what Nelson said together, they said, don't blame the scheme, don't blame the quarterback, don't blame the play calling, blame us.
Right. And that's what you want to hear.
Yeah. They didn't say we have to go to the tape. We didn't say any of that. They said we've been bad. And they have been, and I think everyone can see that. And as much as I think that the defense is the sleeper here and really needs to get a lot better, if the offensive line gets better, they'll be in these games the next couple of weeks. The Dolphins' defense, the defenses aren't going to get any easier. Tennessee's defense I don't think is very good, but the Dolphins and the Ravens have a history of good defense.
What's more likely, offensive line to get better or the defense to get better?
Offensive line. As provided people are healthy.
I'm trying to do a gym thing and make you say something you don't want to say.
No, it's the offense. Because, well, I think most podcast listeners know if there's a skeptic on the defense, it's usually me. And I have reason to be skeptical. They haven't given me reason to change that. So, yeah, I think the offensive line is more likely to get better just because the defense had some big issues coming in. Corner, defensive end. And the fact that they've got problems at safety and linebacker have compounded it, but there were big unknowns at corner and defensive end, and they're not getting enough production from those two spots.
Well, we thank you for joining us. Anyone who has listened this long, we will let them know we are working to replace Jim on the beat. Jim is still in the company. Jim's still beloved by the Cover 2 podcast. Jim, if you're listening. But we will have, we will continue to try to find Joel a new partner as we go along. I'm Nat Newell, Indy Star Colts editor, obviously here with Joel A. Erickson, our Colts insider. We appreciate you listening.